Regeneration is the action or process of being reformed, regrown, or created again, restoring lost or injured aspects of oneself. Join Josh and Kit each week as they discuss what it looks like to seek and to find Jesus in the areas of identity, intimacy, and sexuality. If you'd like to discover God's design for your life and how to live it out, this podcast is definitely for you.
We've been asking listeners for some feedback, and we're really happy that we've been getting some great comments and ideas. And so these questions came from a woman, and I'm going to share what they are, and then we're going to kind of walk through them a little bit today. How do you learn to love yourself? How did I become codependent, and how do I change? And what does it mean to become whole? So these questions, Josh, are near and dear to my heart.
They're great questions
they
in general.
They are great questions.
Why are they near and dear to your heart?
Well, because I've struggled with them most of my life. And, you know, feel like, thankfully I'm learning some things, but they've been really themes for my life, a lot of the life I've had so far.
Yeah, you're not alone. One of the things I love about some of the questions in there, too, is that I've said this before. I think sometimes as Christians, we're not allowed to ask certain questions. Like, what does it mean to be whole? Oh, well, it means wholeness. And
right.
It's a great question. You know, Regeneration's tagline is becoming whole. What does that mean?
Right.
So let's talk about some of those. So let's jump into talking about codependency. It's a huge issue for so many people.
It is.
Listen to, a ton of popular songs today, and you're like, oh
gosh.
Man, this is the codependency. Like, it just kind of like, I'm going to die without you. I need you. I can't live without you. Like, oh, that's codependency. So
it's really funny that you brought that up, because I was thinking back on songs. I think I've talked about this before, but I used to sit at a piano when I was like 12, 13 years old, and I knew enough to play the piano a little bit. And I would sing these songs that were just pathetic. One of them was called More. Than the greatest love you've ever known. This is a love I have for you alone. I mean, it's just like this crying out of
this crooning song to
another
person.
Codependency. Yeah. I can't stop thinking about you when I'm sleeping, when I'm weeping, when I'm dreaming. All I can think about is you. And so those are the songs.
Did you write this song? Is this
No. This is a song one of the songs I used to sing.
Yeah.
When I would sit and play the piano, and I actually looked up the lyrics the other day, because for some reason it came back to me. And it's no wonder that if I was like meditating, on these lyrics and playing the piano, and no wonder it seeped into me. It was this idea that I can get that kind of love, I can give that kind of love, and that's what's going to complete me.
Yeah.
This deep longing, just desperation, really.
Well, I think some of the songs, I think some of that stuff in our culture, it's like scratching an itch. Like when we're in that space of like just that kind of desperate needing of a person.
Yeah.
It can like that. There's just something in it that's, I think it's some of it's good, but it can go sideways quick.
Well, right. So, it's healthy to want to love someone. It's not healthy to want to, when you're obsessed and that's the way that you're going to have any sense of who you are.
Yeah. So take that, how do we define codependency? Some people listening going like, I don't deal with that. Some people listening going like, I think I totally deal with that. Let's just put some words to it, some boundaries on it. What is codependency?
Well, a simple way to think about it is that you're over-reliant on a person or a relationship emotionally, psychologically. And so, it becomes very unhealthy and dysfunctional because you are all about if that person's okay, I'm okay. In fact, there's this saying, it's like, I'm okay if you're okay with me. That's codependency.
Mm, yeah. So, because that's a great way even to answer some of the further questions. Like, well, how do I know if I'm over-reliant? Like, how do I know if I'm taking this too far? And I think that's a good sign of that. Like, actually, if you're not okay with me, then I can't go on. I'm not okay until we can get that figured out. And if you leave me, I'm wrecked. I mean, that's just never going to work for me.
There have been so much of my life where I would begin or end the day by saying, are my relationships okay? Oh, they're okay. Then I'm okay. And that was my barometer. And so, of course, why is that not okay? Because relationships are up and down, and and that's okay. They are up and down, and it's okay that you have an argument with your spouse and you're in a period of working it out. Like now, when I realize that there's something in a relationship that might be you know, not in the greatest of places, I'm like, okay, yep. And I'm going to do my best, you know, to resolve that and to love them well. Right. But it doesn't rock my world and like make everything else pale in comparison.
Some other ways that people have described codependency, other terms that are synonymous. One is emotional dependency.
Yes.
You know, I'm emotionally not okay if you're not okay with me. Or you. Another way of thinking about it is you have to tell me that I'm worth, that I have worth. And if you don't, if you don't see worth in me, if you don't think it, then I don't think it. And another is, and I think this is informative too, is relational idolatry. It's another synonymous or synonym for codependency. It's I'm taking somebody else and I'm seeking from them to feed off of them and to get from them really what only God can give me.
Yeah.
A sense of identity, a sense of worth, a sense of well-being, a sense of stability in the storm. And this doesn't mean that we never receive any of those things or can be nourished by other people in those areas.
Right.
But it's when I focus that in on a specific person or a specific group of people alone as though they are God.
And a way that you can know that you're codependent too is if you continue to stay in an abusive, controlling relationship and don't have a desire to try to get, you know, either in your own self or in the relationship, like change how it's going.
Yeah, when you minimize.
Yeah.
So I had a seminary professor who I was talking about a relationship that I was in with a mentor, and I was part of what I was saying was like, you know, there are some things going on that like not so great, but da 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 da. And he's like, yeah, that's a sign of codependency, Josh. And the way he described it, he said it's like you're taking important mail that's coming in and you're putting it in the junk mail pile. Mm-hmm. So, you know, your spouse keeps saying they want to get better. They don't want to keep drinking. They don't want to keep sleeping around. Your friend says they care about you, but all evidence of how they're living points to that's not really true. I mean, I think one of the common refrains we hear from people is like when others who do love them kind of say like, hey, I don't like how they're treating you or I'm concerned about you. And the response is, well, you don't know them like I know them. Yeah. They're actually not
really,
like that.
They're really going through a hard time, and that might be true, but it doesn't justify being emotionally, psychologically, physically abusive. And when you put up with that, and you know, there's no sense of I have dignity and honor, and this person is dishonoring me over and over and over again with no remorse. And that's just indicative of you're in deep weeds.
And it doesn't have to – so just to be clear, it doesn't – I mean, I think that's one of the places we see codependency is in abusive relationships or where there's, you know, emotional and physical relational abuse. It doesn't have to be that way for there to be codependency. People can actually be in a relationship that they both enjoy being in where there's codependency.
Yes, that's very true.
Two people who are really glomming onto each other.
Yeah.
They're each other's world.
Yeah.
And they're digging it, but they're really not okay without the other person.
Yeah. Yeah. It's very interesting because I, you know, when we talk about marriage, you know, being one flesh, and I often say to clients, you know, I think God's intention was not for two halves to make a whole. When he created you, he didn't say, I'm going to make half a person.
Right.
He said, I'm going to make a whole person.
Yeah.
I'm going to make someone who has the capacity to be in the fullness of God. And so it's two whole people coming together. And it's mysterious how two wholes become another whole. But that's, so I think
So let's transition. That's a great transition to the kind of that next question of, well, what do we mean by wholeness? What does it mean to be whole? So if I recognize in myself codependent or emotionally dependent kind of tendencies, what am I shooting for? Like, what is it? What's a different? If I'm in a marriage or I'm in a relationship, and I'm like, well, I think I've taken this too far. What does it look like? And I think one of those things for me is just what you said. That kind of, I have something on my own, distinct from this other person, that has value, whether they see it or not, whether they appreciate it or not, and I actually have it independent of them. So I can go be in other relationships, relate with other people, and bring this and bring value there without that person.
Which is not just honoring of yourself, but it's honoring of that other person, right? Like you don't want to be like, well, you know, listen, I'm going to look to you for what I need to become whole. Oh my gosh. Again, we've talked about that with children, what a burden that is. So I think it's important to have, I love the word honor, you know, have a sense of what does it mean to honor yourself, to have a sense of self, to have boundaries so that you know that, Josh, you're a separate person than me, from me.
Right.
I have myself. I have
a sense of fine time for you to tell me right now, kid. Man, kid.
So I have a sense of self. And I honor that you have a sense of self. Right. And I don't want to, you know, I don't want to cross those boundaries.
Right. And I think when there's conflict, there's an understanding that you have. If as a whole person, you understand this conflict does not, first of all, does not wreck me.
Right.
Second of all,
right.
It does not mean I have to lay myself down. I might have to humble myself. I might have to make concession and ask for forgiveness or change some of what I'm doing. I'm not just meant to be immovable in the world in my relationships, but I can still honor who I am and how this is making me feel.
Yeah.
And that's big.
I think you're touching on something with conflict, again, that is a good sort of a barometer. Like if you take everything personal and you feel like a victim, everything that someone says, like in a friendship or a marriage, you know, they're like, oh my gosh, you know, then like that's, you know, not everything that is said and done is personal. And when you take everything personally and you feel like a victim, then that's probably indicative that there's some dependency there.
That's good. Yeah.
Yeah.
So again, back to this question of like, what does it mean to be whole?
Yeah.
It's kind of hard. I mean, as we're talking, like, it's hard to put our, you know, to give a definition to, but so a couple categories maybe could be helpful. One is, wholeness and integrity go together. And so think about
that's good.
Like through and through, whoever I'm with, wherever I am, I'm the same person. I know that when my wife and I, before we were married, we were dating and I was really digging her. And one of the things that was really important to me was when I was with people who knew me well, my family members and friends I'd been friends with for a long time, one of the questions I would ask them after they'd met Jamie and spent some time with the two of us together, I'd say, you know, did I seem different with her than I usually am? And part of what I was searching for in that was just a sense of like, am I performing? Am I laying down who you've known me to be in order to try to, you know, draw her? And for them to say like, actually, you seem more yourself with her than you have with other people. It's a great sign of like, okay, I'm learning to be whole.
Which again, when you to think about this idea of wholeness made me think about true self and false self. So when you said, am I performing? Like the false self is ego-driven. So wholeness isn't living out of your ego. Wholeness isn't like, well, how can I please this person? How can I perform? How can I achieve? How can I strive? What do I need to – what image do I want to portray? You know, that's all very – that lacks a sense of wholeness. The true self is really like – paying attention to, you know, when you feel peaceful, when you feel loving, you know, when you can get in touch with who you really are apart from all those other things.
Yep.
Like that is a sense of wholeness.
That goes back to one of those things of like just the value of individuation that happens when we're kids. And so thinking about family of origin issues, I think one of the precursors for a lot of people who start with codependency or relational dependency is – you weren't allowed to feel the things you felt. Like if dad came home and he was in a bad mood, everyone had to be quiet and kind of be tense. You know, even if you're having a great time and had a great day, that's not healthy. You know, I'm actually allowed to be happy. I'm allowed to feel peaceful even if you don't.
Yeah.
And it doesn't mean I don't care for you. It doesn't mean I'm being insensitive. It might be. You might be feeling those things, but it doesn't mean that automatically.
And I think it's learning to know yourself. You know, it's just like, who am I? What do I like? What do I love? What do I enjoy doing? And then doing that.
Yeah. A great question. Like, what do you love? Like, I don't know. You tell me what I love as opposed to like, here's what I love.
And that's a great way to discover wholeness in yourself or who you are, you know, your true self is like, experiment with some of that. Like, you know, think about some of the things you used to love to do as a child or whatever, and then do it and then be like, that helps me get in touch with who I am and what it feels like to be whole. You know, when I'm hiking in the woods and I'm, you know, quiet and calm and paying attention to, you know, just things around me, like I have a sense of who I am and a sense of wholeness.
Yeah. I think what comes to mind as you say that is peace. I think a sense of peace with myself.
Yeah.
You know, like I remember some codependent relationships I was in where
there's never peace. No peace.
Yeah. Like, I had to be available. Like, what if you were reaching out to me and I didn't know it? You know, like, that was not a good place.
If you're exhausted in your relationship.
Yeah.
You know.
Where does this come from? I think we kind of skipped over that. Like, what's the genesis of that? I mean, I mentioned some of the codependency kind of stuff that can begin in childhood when a child just doesn't have the freedom to be themselves in relation to like a very large emotional adult or a large and in charge adult in the family, where the child just kind of doesn't learn to be an individual in the family and isn't honored in that place.
It is passed down. It certainly was passed down from my mom to me. Now, it doesn't always happen that way, but it can, you know. So I modeled a mom who was very codependent, you know, just really didn't know who she was. Apart from my dad.
Yeah.
And so, you know, that's one way you can learn it. Insecurity and dysfunction in the home, you know, if you have no control and, you know, codependency is about control. Hmm. So if you feel like you've grown up in an environment where you have no control, you have no say, you have no sense of yourself in it, you know, that's an environment that will create that kind of tendency.
Yeah. So let me dig in a little bit further to the how you learn it in a home or it's passed down. So you're saying, and I think I get this, but you're saying that you know, a child who in that vulnerable place is looking up to one of their primary caregivers, a mom or a dad, who doesn't have an identity or isn't okay apart from their spouse.
Mm-hmm.
So a child, without realizing it, begins kind of picking up. I guess this is where you find yourself, or I guess this is how we're going to be okay.
Yes.
It's not a conscious thing. It's just
it's
acquired. It's an acquired
thing.
And
children are so perceptive, you know, and it's so hard to remember being a child. You know, we think about how we learn things. We think about ourselves now. But when you're a child, you're very vulnerable. You're very impressionable. You know, you're very perceptive. And so, you know, and the people who are most important in your life, like, you're paying attention to them in ways that, you know, you don't even know, you know, and you're doing what they do, and think about the mannerisms that you have that are like your parents. It's weird, right?
Yeah.
And so there's much more than mannerisms that you pick up.
Yeah. You mentioned security too, which I think is a huge one. So if for whatever reason, as a child growing up, something happened to you, something didn't happen that you needed, and you're walking around with just kind of this hole, this question of like, am I seen? Am I loved? Am I worthwhile? I think what can happen some point in life, adolescence, maybe later, somebody that you look at and think, man, this person's got it together and they're noticing me. And that can be a recipe for codependency. It can also be a recipe for great blessing if that's a healthy other. But if they're not healthy, if they're, you know, if they're looking for someone to kind of validate them, then it becomes this cycle where, like, man, you know, this person becomes my world and I'm better with them. And if they reject me, I'm in trouble. I think we've also seen situations where relationships like that can become sexual, that kind of dependency can become sexualized. Or that kind of relationship can also, another dynamic is the narcissist and the emotionally dependent person.
Yeah.
The narcissist kind of gathers emotionally dependent people around them. And when somebody gets healthy enough, they start asking questions. The narcissist moves on. You know, they attack and move on.
And when you're a child and you're watching a parent put up with things, like you're watching this, what you somehow maybe even instinctually know, you know, they shouldn't be talking like that. That's scary the way my dad's talking to my mom, or even, you know, they just saw their dad hit their mom, you know. And you watch that no matter what happens, the mom doesn't do anything about it. The mom accepts it, or the dad, vice versa. But and so that creates a very deep wound in a child. So, you know, and like you said, emotional dependency, codependency, there's different levels of it. Some is very extreme. Another is more, you know, not quite so. But there can be some very strong messages sent to a little child. And then, you know, this idea of learning – what do you do with that? You know, we really do want to be aware of those things. We want those things to come up and be like, oh, that happened to me. I wonder how that's playing out in my life now.
So moving into the category of like, how, what do we do if we recognize codependency in our life? How do we get better? How do we break free from codependency?
Yeah.
Let's get real practical here. I think certainly becoming aware, beginning to notice those things, even identifying like, wait, I do that with, you know, what they're saying feels like me.
Yeah.
It's a great first step to, you know, acknowledge the reality of your brokenness is a great first step.
Mm-hmm.
What are the things?
Well, I think about take inventory of your relationships. Even think about the steps of AA, you know, they have one of the steps is take a moral inventory.
Yep.
You know, codependency is in many ways an addiction to a person. And so, you know, take inventory of your relationships, especially the primary ones, you know, like what's going on there? And if you see, you know, if you're dating somebody or you even have a friendship, you know, think about boundaries, taking some steps back, you know. It's important to do that.
Boundaries are huge for breaking free from any kind of addiction, certainly in the area of emotional or codependency.
Mm-hmm.
And specifically, like, so let's get practical. Like, I think for a lot of people, if you're in an emotionally dependent relationship, a codependent relationship, for a lot of people it means a very hard boundaries, high boundaries.
Mm-hmm.
And it can be very disruptive and even potentially the end of the relationship.
There have been many, many clients, and I always try to – because something rises up in me because of my history and because I know what damage being in that long-term relationship within a codependent relationship did. So I'll rise up a little bit. I have to kind of like calm myself down, but I'll say to the client, you know, listen, I just want to tell you if what I'm describing is that relationship, please do yourself a favor and get out.
Get out of it.
Get out of it now.
Yeah. Well, what if I hurt the other person? Well, you know what? I don't want them to hate me. I don't want to like
it
some
does
of those
serious spiritual psychological damage to be in those kind of relationships.
Yeah.
It takes a long time to recover.
And I think just recognize that some of the resistance that comes up is actually a symptom. That's where you are.
Oh, that's good.
You know?
Yeah, that's good.
Mm-hmm. And that's true in a lot of different addictions.
And be kind to yourself. Don't shame yourself and beat yourself up if it's hard. You know, remember to be kind to yourself. Like, it is going to be hard. And find someone to talk to. It's so important.
You need – like, this is the relational idolatry, codependency, emotional dependency – They are counterfeits. They are the twisted version of true friendship. And you need true friends to help you as you're walking through this. So whether it's a spiritual coach or a therapist or just a cadre of friends that, you know, that aren't kind of wrapped up in this stuff, who you can call and say, I really want to pick up the phone and get back with so-and-so or spend time with them. And who can be in your court to say, like, hold on, hold the phone, hold the phone.
And I think that's why I love what we do and why I love being a part of it is because what happens here really does address these things and many others, but addresses these core issues that are so important. And so whether it's the programs that we have, you know, which really are dramatically impactful or the coaching, like if that's not, I'm not, you know, we're not like, oh, we need people to come in because we just believe, I believe so much in how it's helped me.
Yeah.
In recovery, because we all are in recovery for something.
Yeah. Shameless plug. You know, we have Path Through the Wilderness is coming up not too long. Spiritual coaching here can be immensely helpful for you. And we're not saying it because we need people to come through the door. We would actually just love to walk with you and help you. That's what we're here for.
Yeah.
A couple other practical things I think people can do on a spiritual level, I think really bringing these things to God.
Yeah.
And codependency, like I mentioned, relational idolatry. Idolatry is a sin. And so it can be really helpful to confess that as a sin to the Lord. Lord, I have put this person in a place that only you belong.
Yeah.
And I confess it as sin to you. I confess it as idolatry. I ask that you'd forgive me. And I need your help. I need you to rescue me from doing this.
Absolutely.
He is so patient, so willing to walk with us. You know, God loves people. He hates idols. So he certainly wants to help set you free from the idols.
And
in
it's
your
a
life.
Process. It and, takes time.
Sure.
You know, I mean, there's still, without question, residuals of it in my life, and I still pray about it and ask God to help me in it.
Yeah. Anything else, practically speaking, that you would say has been helpful for you? And then we got to close.
Well, I think realizing that my sense of well-being, I don't, you know, evaluate it anymore according to how my relationships are doing. You know, I just say, Lord, I want to just embrace the reality of your love for me, you know, and what that means to me and who I am, that there is a wholeness that I can have in you. I can be interdependent and in loving relationships with people, but they don't define me. And I don't go to them anymore for that. I go to you. I spend a lot more time with God than I used to. Mm. And again, I know that's seasonal, but I enjoy time with God. I enjoy learning about Him and about myself. And it's become a really important relationship.
Yeah.
More important than any of the other ones.
Yeah. Yeah. So let me, one more practical that I'd give, and then I'll close in a word of prayer. I remember a time for me in college, I had just gotten out of an emotionally dependent romantic relationship, and not just, it had been a while, but I was still just heartbroken, hanging on, wishing things, and this other person started dating another person, and it just wrecked me, even though it had been months. I was out with some good friends, and I started lamenting again, kind of like the song, you know, the crooning song you had mentioned at the beginning, the lamenting song. It was kind of what I lamenting to my friends. And one of them just grabbed me and he put his arm around me and he said, knock it off, Josh. Like, be with us. Like, come on, you're with us tonight.
Wow, I love it.
And I think in that sense, like being mindful of where you are and when your heart, your attention starts to go back to that other person, how are they doing? I wonder, I wish. Instead, practicing mindfulness to like, God, I'm right here. I feel this desire. I feel this longing. I feel this ache. But I'm right here. And literally thinking about your five senses even. Like,
so
what
good.
Do I see?
It's really
what do I
good.
Hear in this
yep.
place? What do I feel
really
with my senses? Who else is here? And what are they saying?
Yep.
To bring yourself into the present moment to experience that. And that's a discipline. It's a practice. But I think, again, just over the long haul, that can be a way to help break
Very
through.
Helpful. Absolutely.
So, Lord, you know, we don't solve codependency in 20 minutes, Lord, but our podcast time is done. So we pray for our brothers and sisters who are listening, who are experiencing that ache and experiencing that intensity. Lord, we pray for freedom for them. Lord, we pray that you would wash over them and that they, like us, Lord, we pray for them and for us, that we would continue to increasingly find you to be more and more our sufficiency, our God, our lover, and the one we love in return. Lord, please make it so. We pray all these things in the strong, powerful, wonderful name of Jesus. Amen.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for joining us this week on the Regeneration Podcast. Please make sure to visit our website at regenerationministries.org, where you can subscribe to the show in Apple or Google Podcasts and even Spotify, so you'll never miss another one. While you're at it, if you found value in this show, we'd appreciate a rating on Apple Podcasts, or if you'd simply tell a friend about the show, that would help us out a lot. Thanks so much for listening. We look forward to being with you again next week.